Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. I am Team Radio Sai's Vishu, and today we have a beautiful bhajan on Lord Rama. It's a short and sweet bhajan. This is how the first line of the bhajan goes.
Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama.
So this is the bhajan we will learn now. Like in every episode of this program, let's get started with the lyrics and then we'll move on to the tune, the raga, and then we'll discuss every word of this bhajan. You are going to hear a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, a former student of Bhagwan's University and a very enthusiastic bhajan singer and composer. He will be sharing his insights on this bhajan. And after that, you will listen to the Mandir version of this lovely Rama bhajan. So here are the lyrics to get started.
Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama, Ranadhira, Sukumara, Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama, Raghupati Raghava, Raja Rama, Rajiva Lochana, Rama, Rama.
Now that you know the lyrics, please listen to Brother Srinivasulu and Brother Anirudh singing out the tune of this bhajan.
We are singing this in D Pancham.
Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Ranadhira Sukumara, Ranadhira Sukumara, Ranadhira Sukumara, Ranadhira Sukumara. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama. Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama. Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama. Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama. Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama. Rajiva Lochana Rama Rama. Rajiva Lochana Rama Rama. Rajiva Lochana Rama Rama. Rajiva Lochana Rama Rama. Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama.
So that was another very beautiful bhajan, short and sweet, on Lord Rama. Just four lines, very easy to learn, simple to follow. And for those of us who want to learn it better, learn with clarity, Anirudh is here to share with us the notes of the bhajan and the raga of the bhajan. So tell us, Anirudh, what occurred to you when you heard this bhajan for the first time?
Sairam Vishu.
Sairam.
The very first thought was so simple, Namavali. It's so sweet. Actually, this bhajan reminds me that the name is so simple and sweet. If the composition is simple, everybody can join so happily singing for the Lord without much complications or not much of musical, technical expertise in the composition. Because when the composition is short and sweet, you have the most impact. Everybody can just follow. And that's what Swami wanted always in any bhajan session, the follow, follow, follow. So this bhajan is very ideal for such a thought to trigger in everybody's mind. And it also, the very tune itself gives a feeling of the name is so sweet. The namam is so sweet. And any composition becomes ideal if the tune actually justifies the lyrics of the bhajan. It enhances the life of the bhajan, which gives the feel, entire feel of the bhajan itself. So this beautiful bhajan is based on the simplest raga, Shankaravarnam.
Sarigama padanisa.
All shuddha notes.
Sanidapamagarisa.
The raga where we have all the English rhymes and other songs. Most of the Western compositions are based on Shankaravarnam or Bilaval in the Hindustani classical music.
I think the number of Sai bhajans based on this raga are innumerable.
Yes. Taking Shankaravarnam or Bilaval as the base, many Sai bhajans are composed with one or two notes being added or taken from the other ragas or changing it from Shuddha to Komal. So you have many bhajans like Shiva Shambho Shambho. Then you have
Shambho Mahadeva. Shiva Shambho Mahadeva. Buddha Mahavir Yeshu Sai. Ram Ram Bhajo Man Hare Hare. Ram Ram Sai Rama. Bada Chita Chora Vrindavan Sanchara.
There the Komal knee comes, but we can take the bass as Shankaravarnam, yes, and then change, as I mentioned before. And all are happy mood bhajans.
Yes.
It's more of praising and yes, Namavali, simple Namavali lyrics.
So I think everyone is familiar with this raga.
Yes.
So let's move on now to the swaras of this bhajan.
Yes. When we do the swaras, you will find it very interesting that the composition is based on some like pattern like ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ta-ta-ta. First two lines. Ta-ta-ta-ta-ra-ra-ra. So,
Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama, Ranadhira, Sukumara.
The pauses also add a lot of beauty, and again it's simple. And the third and the fourth line has the, like we take the tune as the full beat.
Raghupati Raghava Raja Rama.
I think that is the speciality of this bhajan, you know. The moment you hear, you want to follow.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, it's very inviting. Wonderful.
One more bhajan which comes to my mind is
Mangalakarini Jai Sai Ma.
It's also something similar.
Bhava Bhaya Harini Sai Ma.
And in the third speed we have Jai Jai Jai, yes, Sai Ma. Means yes, that it's very clear cut. The, yes, lyrics are so crisp and clear.
Mm.
And the tune is also composed like that.
Yes.
Ram 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 Paramasu Mangala Ram Ram Ram.
Yes.
Same Rama, one, yeah, more beautiful version. Let's take the first line.
Jaya Rama Raghu Rama Sari Re Ga Ga.
Let's discuss the beat too.
The beat of this bhajan is very simple. It is 8-beat. Aaditalam or Kaherva in the classical music. Let's have the count. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3.
Jaya Rama, Raghu Rama.
So lovely to sing such short and sweet bhajans, isn't it?
Yes.
Beautiful. Thank you very much, Anirudh and Arun Sai.
Thank you,
Vishishu.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. So we now come to that part of this program where we discuss about the significance of the words of this bhajan. You will now listen to a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso, someone who was blessed to be a student in Bhagwan's university and sang in the divine physical presence of Bhagwan for decades, and even now continues to sing in Prashanti whenever he is here in the holy abode of Bhagwan in Sai Kulwant Hall, as well as wherever he travels, he disseminates the message and the power of Sai Bhajans. So here is Brother Sonam Gyamso. Sai Ram, Brother Sonam, and welcome once again to Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom.
Sai Ram, Vishu.
Well, today we have a lovely Rama Bhajan. And whenever I think about Rama, and when you think about all the avatars,
yeah,
you know, what always occurs to me is, for some reason,
mm-hmm,
Bhagwan always talked about the life of Rama.
Yeah.
You know, he would give some instances from Mahabharata, he would give some instances from the life of Krishna and Pandavas, but when it comes to Ramayana, you know, he would share every bit, every detail. In fact, there are summer courses fully dedicated to Ramayana, 1996 summer course, and so many summer courses. So he wanted all of us to know every little twist and turn, every little
story,
incident.
Yeah.
Every little dialogue, everything that Rama did at every point in time was important for Bhagwan. And
exactly.
And he talked about it so much, isn't it? And in fact, you know, he made Rama a part of the Sai mission so much that, you know, we wish everyone as Sai Ram. We don't say Sai Krishna, not that we cannot say. But Swami made it like that.
Exactly.
It is Sai Ram, it is Sai Ram. It is, he's like, you have to be like Rama.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
And that is... I think it is a very deep lesson because Swami continues to say, when you read his discourses, that Rama Vigrahavan Dharma. Swami said the kind of Dharma that Rama led, that is what I want all of you to emulate. I know it's a difficult task, but at least try to be like that. The way he was a father, the way he was a son, the way he was a husband, everything that
teacher,
I wanted as a teacher. As a king.
As a student.
As a student. As a protector. Everything that he did was the epitome of that role. And he wanted us to...
And he played it to perfection.
And he played it to perfection. Yeah. Yes. So I think that is something very, very significant. And when we read Ramayana, when we listen to his stories, I think we should go with this approach. Isn't it?
Not only is the story so beautiful and readable, and you know, we grew up listening to stories of Sri Ramachandra ji, and one thing about Rama is Rama has gone places throughout the world. Like, there is no place in this world where people don't talk about Rama.
Yes.
In all different dialects, different languages. You won't believe me, even on the roof of the world in Tibet, the tradition of Sri Ramachandra ji is maintained in a beautiful story, mm-hmm. and it's called the story of Gyalpo Khesar.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's the story of the Ramayana.
Mm-hmm. Maybe there are some deviations and variations, but
yeah.
the main script sort of...
On the whole,
by yeah. and large remains yeah. the same. Yeah.
So basically, sometimes we don't ponder over it very deeply. Why is it that we talk about Rama so much? Why is Sri Ramachandra ji talked about so much throughout the world? So much speculated upon throughout the world. When Swami once told us the meaning, he said, the meaning of Rama is very simple. One who gives you that quantum of joy. Ramyate iti Rama. So that is the, Swami said, the semantics of Ram. It's very easy to understand. So where would you like to, Swami was talking to the students, and then he was telling us that if you are in a very good mood to go out, to go for an outing, what type of place would you prefer? A place where dead bodies are buried, or a place where, you know, flowers are in full blossom, beautiful rivulets are flowing, and would you like to go to a place like that? What attracts you more? Then we said, Swami, naturally, we said, a place which is so naturally attractive. So Swami said, so that attractiveness is God.
Oh, wow.
So that is Rama. The Rama Tattva is that attractiveness.
Oh, wow.
That beauty, that happiness, that joy. So you want to worship Rama and realize Rama, then you have to exude that happiness every moment. If you are not filled with happiness, be sure that you are miles away from Rama.
Oh.
But if you are happy, you are in love with Rama, you are with Rama, you are wedded to Rama. So, Rama as a concept, not only as a human being, not only as somebody personified who lived in Ayodhya, but Sri Ramachandra ji, like the universal abstraction that he is, that epitomizes happiness, joy, unsullied joy and bliss. That is Rama, Swami said. Mm-hmm. So maybe, because the whole world is looking at, you know, hankering after happiness, joy. Everyone would like to be joyous, happy.
And this only means that every time we tell Sai Rama, we should tell it with that much joy.
With that joy.
Every time we wish anyone Sai Rama, if we don't do it with delight, if we don't do it with that bliss of Rama, they were not doing justice to that phrase, Sai Rama.
You can't just pull a long face and say Sai Rama.
Though we sometimes even do it, but that you're insulting the word.
Exactly.
Every time we say Sai Rama, it should be one which really fills the other person with joy.
No doubt.
Wow.
Yeah.
So if we take the first line of this bhajan, Jai Rama, Raghu Rama.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about Rama who chose the Raghu dynasty to be born. I mean, that Raghu lineage. And we know that how that lineage had many legendary and many ideal kings. I mean, you have Ganga also came to the earth through that lineage, isn't it?
Exactly. So Swami was once... telling us, we were singing some Jai Rama bhajan, bhajan wherein Rama was being extolled and we were glorifying Rama and saying Jai, victory to Rama. And Swami said, actually you don't really need to do it. You don't need to say Jai Rama because Jai, victory is inherent in Rama.
Oh, wow.
Swami said, you don't really have to add that. Yeah. You don't have to add to Sri Rama because Rama is absolute, he said.
Wow.
Everything is contained in Rama. So when you say Rama, it also means victory, it means liberty, it means happiness, it means totality, absoluteness. Wow. That's what
all that
it is.
We talk about truth, freedom, liberty.
Equality, fraternity.
Everything is there in the word Rama.
Exactly.
Wow.
In fact, Swami was, I was reading Professor Kasturi. And on some occasion, Swami had told him, and Professor Kasturi quoted Swami, and he wrote this beautiful article in which people have been clamoring after, you know, equality, because these are only concepts. We want equality, liberty, fraternity. And where are we seeking it? we want to get equality or liberty in a very political manner.
Hmm.
On a political canvas, this can be written down and then they can be just deleted, they can be wiped away. It means nothing. But Swami said, when the very concept of what you are thinking is based on division, divisiveness, inequality, you are relying on your mind, your emotions, how can you say that, you know, my emotions, how can you rely on the emotions and say that I want equality? Because emotions have got different vagaries. But what is absolute? What is resolute? That alone can give you that type of that quantum of, you know, equality.
If you're guided by something absolute in you,
yeah,
then you can
strive
bring about the equality.
Yeah.
Only then you'll have the right perspective to bring the equality among others.
Exactly.
So otherwise you're driven by something which is already so unstable. So how do you bring stability outside?
Really? So if you want love, if you want equality, the source of that equality should be that what santushta sataram yogi yata atma dhru nishaya, you know. That samatva should be there as the basis. And that, Swami said, is only it's only the reflection of the atma. And nothing more, nothing less.
Wow. In fact, in this bhajan, you have Raja Rama in the last line. In fact, as you're mentioning about equality, about, being so stable inside. As I always say, if you're rock-like steady inside, you can rock in the world outside.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
And that is what Rama was.
Yeah.
You know, when he was told that you become the king, he said, fine, father, if that's what you want. And then after 2 minutes, he's told, you go to the forest. He said, fine, that's fine. If you want, that's what you want, then it's okay. Then you'll be the same composer.
That steadiness that you are telling, it reminds me of, you know, that the way Swami Pant's study for steady. So all the education in the world, if it doesn't confer on you that inner steadiness, then there is no joy in doing anything. So...
Wow.
From these angles, when you look at, then Sri Ramachandra is no more only a historical figure who lived during a particular age and who ruled a kingdom. Because then, you know, what were the geographical configurations of that kingdom? What was the extent of that kingdom? Was it only Ayodhya that we see today? But then Sri Ramachandra becomes, Sri Ramachandra ji verily becomes the infinite entity.
We're talking about the Rama principle.
The principle. So...
Wow. And when you're talking about equality, you know, I was just reminded of, you know, the way he responded to what one person in his kingdom felt. And, you know, and that led to, you know, him prioritizing that and asking even Mother Sita to go to the forest.
Yeah.
When you talk about equality... Can you see God in every person? I think that is what Swami was all the time saying. You can bring equality not in terms of material positions.
Yeah.
That is impossible. Because the creation is diverse and it will be diverse.
Yeah.
Everybody cannot be the king or everybody cannot be sweeping the road.
Yeah.
You have to see equality in spirit to recognize that there is the same spark in everyone.
Absolutely.
I think that is what Rama was doing. You know, the way he accepted Vibhishana, the way he accepted the monkeys, the way he accepted the squirrel, the way he accepted Shabari, the way he accepted Guha. I think that is what equality is all about, isn't it?
And the way Angad also accepted the order of the day.
Yes.
Despite the fact that his father was killed.
Mm, yes. I mean, yeah. What kind of a personality Rama has to be, you know, for Angad... to give his life for Rama.
Exactly.
Even though superficially it seemed that Rama actually killed his father.
Yeah.
Wow.
So seemingly you
can practice equality at that level.
Exactly.
That is what is equality. Yes.
Exactly.
And I think there are 2-3 other phrases in this bhajan, isn't it? Sukumara, Ranadhira.
Ranadhira and Sukumara. Yeah. Seemingly, you see a dichotomy there.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
Ranadhira is one who is ferocious in the battle, right? Someone who's really
Dhira.
Dhira is one who's courageous.
Very steady and courageous, valorous.
Valorous, yeah.
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 In the battle. We are talking about a battle wherein a battlefield wherein you have won a battle, you are the victor.
Yes.
But then
you're talking about the most sturdiest of men.
Yeah.
And Sukumara is, you're talking about someone who is the most delicate in the world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Someone who is so
calm and meek and so giving.
Yes.
And forgiving. Mm. Sukumara also means that for me, when I think of this word Sukumara, it brings to me a beautiful visage of Bhagwan. Mm. You know, so fresh, like that morning dew. The way he used to give darshan.
Exactly, yes.
Especially you remember the way he would emerge out of the interview room to give his first darshan in the morning.
Yes.
He would bring a wave of freshness.
Yes, yes.
Wow. And everyone would look at him and his hair glowing with, sometimes a golden aura, sometimes a brown, sometimes a bluish aura. And then so much. And he would stand there and you wouldn't know whether which is the sun. The one in the sky or the one standing in front of you. Mm-hmm. That freshness is Sukumara.
Mm-hmm. Ever fresh.
Ever fresh, ever young, youthful.
Mm-hmm.
All the time youthful.
And the reason Swami physically was always fresh and ever young is also contained in this word Sukumara, I feel, because Su means all good.
Yeah.
All positive, isn't it?
Yeah. See,
because he was all goodness, as I remember Swami used to say, that from top to toe, Swami used to say that he is absolutely selfless.
Yeah.
See, in his entire physical, earthly existence, he did not do any, even one act that was impure.
Yeah. And even one act for himself.
For himself.
It was selflessness. Personified.
Yeah. And it was purity.
Yeah.
Absolute purity. I think that is why, when you are that pure, then you automatically radiate that freshness, isn't it, all the time.
Yeah, yeah. I still remember one instance wherein we were all with Swami and Professor Kasturi, and Swami was speaking on each person and saying that, why is it that you look so old, so elderly, your back is, you sit with a stooped, posture, and your back is so hunched. And why is it that, look at me, I look like the very epitome of youth and beauty.
Mm.
And that day Swami went on describing himself. Mm. So Professor Kasturi said, Swami, you are God. Mm. So you look so youthful and handsome. We are human beings. Mm. Swami said, no, you are also God.
Mm.
The only problem is, despite my reminding you umpteen times, you don't try to realize.
Mm.
Then Swami said, I am not using any divine power to look youthful.
Mm.
I live a very regimented, disciplined, spiritually disciplined life, Swami said.
Yes.
So, by saying that, he was telling us that, I have set myself as an example.
Mm.
For every word that I teach you, I am the very living example.
Wow.
So if you can live this way, live a very regimented, disciplined life, very well proportioned life, structured life, then you don't really need to use any divine power, Ashta Siddhi or Naunidhi, to look Sukumara.
Mm. Wow. I think that is what, here I'm coming back to the word Sai Ram. Swami used to always say that lead the life that Rama led.
Yeah.
And Swami's life also is exactly that. Swami kept saying, my life is my message.
Yeah.
So we have to lead the life that Rama led and the life that Sai Rama led.
Yeah,
when Rama again came down.
Yeah.
I think the way, if we say that, Rama belonged to a different era, we can't compare that to this era and we cannot follow that. Then Swami is telling, I was born again and I was living with you. I was breathing the same air. I was eating the same food and I'm doing the same things that you are doing. And I lived a life of purity. So it is very much possible.
Exactly.
It is possible.
Exactly. Absolutely. And Swami would so many times say that when you say Rama, you have to remember two very important words. Maryada Purushottam.
Maryada Purushottam.
Maryada Purushottam. So he is the highest among the Purushas, highest among all sentient beings, because he lived that way. Because his life was an example. And then because he kept the dignity of human life, life on earth, the dignity of being. So he said, Maryada is dignity. So if you can uphold the dignity, your dignity, and he made it so simple, in very simple terms, he said, a student, if he realizes what a dignity of a student is, he would never go astray. And ultimately, every human being should understand the dignity of being a human being.
Yes.
If you realize that much, then you become a Purushottam. Then you are Sri Rama.
That you'll always remember that I am not just a mere human, I am divine, divine. I think if you constantly just tell yourself, I am divine. I think this is a very interesting exercise also, you know. If any time you get a thought that is not pure, all you have to do is just close your eyes and say, I am divine.
I am divine.
I am divine. I am divine. I think if you just reiterate that 10 times, 20 times, 25 times, I think slowly, you know, you will be empowered to increase your willpower, isn't it?
Yeah.
To follow the dictates of your conscience and
no
not
doubt.
Be swayed by the vagaries of the mind.
No doubt about it.
I am divine. I am divine. I think that is what Swami perhaps is trying to tell us all the time when he's saying follow Rama, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. As he would say, first pretend, then tend.
Tend, and then you'll
then
end up.
End.
End. So pretend to be good, then you will tend to be good, then you'll end up being good.
Yeah, pretend you are God.
Yes.
Then you will tend to be God.
God, yes.
And you will end as God.
Yes. Oh, wow. Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, beautiful.
Only Swami can say such beautiful things. In fact, it's such a profound philosophy, but he has made it so simple for us to understand.
And I think whenever anybody faces any dilemmas in life, I think you should look at the story of Rama and you will get answers, you will get courage, you will get direction, isn't it?
Exactly. And that humility, you know, somebody who is so well-meaning, so who wishes the best to Sri Ramachandra ji, seeing that the Vanaras are almost losing the battle, goes and teaches this beautiful mantra to that sage, goes and teaches this mantra to Sri Ramachandra ji, and in all humility, Aditya Hridayam,
Aditya Hridayam, yes.
So he accepts it.
He accepts
it. He learns it. So is that so? Knowing fully well that he is Aditya.
He himself is that.
He himself is that. Is Aditya.
Yes. Yeah. Well, humility is the hallmark of educated person, Swami used to always say. Yes.
And this Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram, for us, this has become almost like an anthem of life.
Yeah.
And especially after it was epitomized so many times in India, it's, you know, it's the anthem of the country.
Yeah.
Raghupati Raghav Raja Ram.
Yes.
But when I think of Raja Ram, don't you feel that, you know, we never talk about Raja Krishna. We never talk about any other god in terms of a Raja.
But then we talked about Ramaraja. I mean, how
Ramaraja.
The kingdom should be, it should be Ramaraja.
Exactly.
Yes.
And Ramaraja is, again, shown in the Ramayana story, an era wherein, you know, which was bereft of anything ugly, anything wrong, any sin, anything untoward, you know, anything unnatural. These things never happened during the Ramaraja. These were the hallmarks of Ramaraja. So when a child dies in that kingdom, and then people ascribe it to something wrong happening somewhere, like millions of children die today. We don't feel anything. And then when a child dies, they say that this is a natural death. Because a natural death is when you live up to 100 years, maybe. A full life lived. But then somebody dies midway. It was taken to be unnatural. So in Ramaraja, which means during Ramaraja, there were no unnatural deaths. People lived up to their complete whole life, lived a complete whole life. And then they lived it in practicing all dharma. Imagine that type of situation.
Think about it also. Ramayana, you know, this whole story of Rama being born and killing Ravana, that's, I think, a very small part of Rama's life.
Yeah.
Because after that, they say for hundreds of years, Rama Rajya continued.
Yeah, it was an era.
It was an era.
Yeah.
And people are so happy.
Yeah.
It continued for so many more years, though we don't have much documentation of, isn't it? I don't know if there is any documentation of,
no, but
of any sages has written about exactly how the Rama Rajya was.
No, we can imagine,
yes,
a utopian type of situation. Wherein there is only goodness.
Only goodness.
There is only life, only positivity.
Yeah.
No sign of negativity.
Yes.
So that is everybody's imagination, everyone's wishful thinking.
Mm.
That how I wish I would live in an era wherein there would be only positivity.
Mm.
Only
what
goodness.
We call the golden age.
The golden age.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
So Swami was once talking to John Hislop.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him, Swami, what do I tell people when they ask me, when is the golden age dawning? Swami said, you should tell them that it has already dawned long back.
Yes.
It has to dawn in the minds of people.
People. Yes.
In the hearts of people.
Yes. If your hearts are closed, then even if there is golden age around you, you won't realize.
It will be darkness everywhere.
Yeah, darkness. Yes.
It's the mind which does everything. So for the man of good wisdom,
yes,
there is all the time golden age.
Yes.
We are living in the golden age.
Yes.
What could be a more golden age than the one in which God manifested as the avatar?
Absolutely.
Still we are looking for some more golden age.
What are the golden age? Yeah.
So this Raja Ram fascinates me.
Yes. And I think we are all in that Sai Rama Rajya now.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, because Sai Ram came down. And he gave so much of himself to all of us.
Yeah.
And now he continues to guide us, continues to live in us.
Exactly.
And if we open our eyes, then we can see him, we can feel him, we can see that world that he wanted us to live in. And we have the chance to participate to create that world that he wanted us to live
in. Even at this moment, as you and me are in this beautiful satsang on a bhajan, see how much joy are we experiencing? And that itself is experiencing Sri Ramachandraji.
Yes.
We are living in Rama. At this moment, we are in Rama.
I think
we are thinking of Rama.
We are singing a bhajan and we are joyful. If there are tears of bliss streaming down our cheeks, it is a moment of Rama.
It's a moment.
It is a Rama moment.
It's a Rama moment. No doubt about it.
Wow. Fantastic. I think every time, the word Rama comes in so many Sai bhajans.
Yeah.
It is a part of the lexicon of Sai organization, Sai devotees, anything to do with Sai.
No doubt.
And I think if you all the time remember that Rama means joy, I think how beautiful and how ecstatic our lives will become, isn't it?
Exactly.
Every time someone even calls the phone and tells Sai Ram, we should tell Sai Ram with joy.
Yeah.
I think that is how we should offer our gratitude to Bhagwan for blessing us with this Sai Rama Rajya, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the last line of this bhajan is Rajiva Lochana Rama.
Rajiva Lochana, lotus-eyed one.
Lotus-eyed one.
Oh, wow. Mm. In fact, that reminds me of an interview with Bhagwan in my 11th class. You know, those days you have this opportunity to get class interviews with Bhagwan.
Mm-hmm.
And you want those interviews to go on forever.
Yeah.
And somehow you want to engage Bhagwan. So, you know, Swami would sometimes ask, okay, any questions? And, you know, at that point in time, you want to ask something, you know, because you want Swami to talk and you just don't want to get out of the room. You just want to be, whether you understand anything or not.
Yeah.
But you want to ask a question. So I remember asking one Swami, why are there lotuses on top of the hostel? Why are there lotuses on top of the hostel? Every building.
Yeah.
Because you have lotuses on
in Prashanti Nilayam.
In Prashanti Nilayam.
And Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan. Every educational institution on the top, you have all these lotuses.
Yeah.
Every corner of the building.
Yeah.
And Swami answered, and Swami said, it is because lotus has the power to attract positivity and keep away negativity.
So beautiful. Yeah.
And when we are describing the Lord as Rajiva Lochana, you know, we are talking about a Lord whose eyes are like lotus.
Yeah.
Who can only see what is positive. We might have done 100 mistakes, 1,000 mistakes, but and done probably one good deed. But if you look for that one good deed, and he will multiply that 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And confer grace on us. Isn't it? The world will look at the 1,000 bad deeds that we have done and will never notice. Even if you have done one good deed and 1,000 bad deeds, you know, even if you have done 1,000 good deeds and one bad deed, the world will look at that only one bad deed and discount all the 1,000 good deeds. But God is someone who will close his eyes to all that unpleasant that you have done. Look for that one good thing that you have done. Because that is one moment which is his moment.
No doubt.
And he will take that one Rama moment and he will multiply that. And beautiful. Confer grace on us, isn't
beautiful.
It?
Beautiful.
I think that is why he's lotus eyed.
He's lotus eyed, and on some occasion, Swami gave us a very esoteric significance of a meaning of the lotus eye.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying, we say Kamala Nabha and Kamala Aksha, you know, lotus eyed. Swami said, why is it that all the gods are depicted as sitting on a lotus?
Mm-hmm.
And why is the lotus posture so important for every aspirant?
Mm.
Then Swami said, when you are in the lotus posture, when you try to resemble the lotus, that is, then you're, you know, you sit very straight.
Mm.
Your spinal cord is very straight. It's in the right juxtaposition for to receive the energy.
Mm.
Then he said that your eyes could be just a slit on your face.
Mm-hmm.
Still you could be lotus-eyed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the lotus should be inside you.
Mm-hmm.
It should be blossoming in your eyes, in you. Because, you know, because of that nature of lotus, you always find, you always, even in most of the pictures of gods and goddesses, you know, God is depicted as sitting on a lotus. Because of the purity that the lotus denotes, connotes.
Yes.
So if you have that purity in your vision, then you are lotus-eyed, he said.
Yes.
So that esoteric meaning of lotus.
Yes.
So he said, even your if your eyes are just two slits on your face, doesn't matter.
Mm.
But the real lotus eye is not being, not having large eyes, but having that type of vision inside you, that pure vision inside you, so that God is all the time seated on that. Do you have a vision wherein God is all the time seated in your vision? Do you have that? Swami asked.
Wow.
So recently, I was composing a bhajan and the word came to me, Naino Me Aao. You know, it's a very old, you know, adage that we have been using in bhajans, we have been hearing in bhajans.
Come into my eyes.
Yeah, come into my eyes. So then the thought came so strongly to me that if I say, Swami, come and live in my eyes, my vision, then he cannot escape anywhere, you know. He fills my vision then. I don't see anything but him.
Then I see only purity.
Only purity. But then if I say, come and live in my heart, then my eyes could be seeing something else. So lotus eye is Rajiva Lochan for me has gained a more esoteric significance after going through all that. So even when you listen, when you sing a bhajan wherein the word Rajiva Lochana, then you immediately makes you very conscious of your own Rajiva Lochan.
Wow. Fantastic. I think every time, as we are saying, if we utter, when we utter Rama, if that element of purity seeps in us, then that our vision also will be
pure.
Pure.
Yeah.
Then all the time we are creating those Rama moments in
exactly,
our life.
Exactly.
Wow.
Then you become Rama personified. You become Rama.
Yeah. Beautiful. Fantastic. Thank you very much.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. You just heard a conversation with Brother Sonam Gyamso from Sikkim, an alumnus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
Let's now move on to listening to this bhajan as it is sung in the Sanctum Sanctorum of Prashanta Nilayam.
Jai Rama Raghu Rama.
That we've come to the end of the current episode of Radio Sai Vintage Bhajan Classroom. If you have any queries or comments, as always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. With heart full of gratitude and love, we offer this endeavor at His lotus feet.